Minister, desperate for work and out of his depth.
Can't you pull out? Just say you've gone temporarily blind. Oh, well, that got you out of the Leveson inquiry.
Clawing his way back into relevance with the help of his loyal team.
How do I charm a man?
Oh, men are easy. Just laugh at everything they say and tell them they're clever.
Hey, we're not that easy.
Well, obviously not you. You're clever.
Thank you.
The new series of Party's Over on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, starring Miles Jupp and Ingrid Oliver. Friday night's 6:30 comedy.
Now on Radio 4, Carbon Life Forms, a new comedy magazine show that tackles all things climate and environment with the aim of demystifying the issues and helping listeners to make positive choices in their everyday lives. It's radio's first carbon neutral show, with the team offsetting the entire production process. In this episode, the presenters, the comedian John Long and the scientist Dr. Tara Shine, tackle food.
Welcome to Carbon Life Forms. It's a story all about how our lives got flipped, turned upside down. I'd like to take a...
John?
Yeah?
Is that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know how it's an environmental show and we're keen to offset our own production emissions?
Yeah.
Coming up with an original intro, that's going to take a lot of brain power.
Yeah, will it though?
Yeah, and brains, they run on food, don't they? And food has got a very high carbon footprint, so I was just thinking, you know, it might be easier to just recycle famous intros from the past.
Look, honestly, it doesn't need to be complicated, right? Just tell them your name's John Long.
Okay.
And that it's called Carbon Life Forms.
Yeah, did that.
Yeah, and then just say something like, even though climate change is a very real threat to our civilization, there are ways to tackle it both as a society and at home.
Okay, that's good, I can do that.
Still rolling.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Yeah, oh, forget it.
It's 18% of our bodies, 0.04% of the air, and we request a concerted and thoughtful team effort to sequester it under the earth where we ought to have left it. And we are carbon life forms, energy efficient light bulbs, aren't gonna cut it anymore. Might have to redefine norms, climb down off a carbon high horse. And let's find out what's in store. Welcome to the show. And as my producer has already very kindly pointed out, my name is John Long. I'm a stand-up and musical comedian, or annoying prick with a guitar if you prefer. I moved to London for Wi-Fi, more than else. And for employment was a real reason, and I found a job, I don't want to brag about it, in a waste and recycling factory. Ooh. The Tip. I don't know why I'm talking it up. I worked at The Tip. Working at a waste and recycling centre will open your eyes to many things. For example, how many wine bottles is a pandemic's worth? A staggering amount of wine bottles, it turns out. But then one of our boroughs is Westminster, so not all that surprising in retrospect. Working there over the years has certainly increased my interest in the climate crisis, and I've gathered some fellow concerned humans, including the incredibly qualified Dr. Tara Shine, to discuss it in front of a live audience. Tara has advised world leaders and international organisations on this subject. Now she's here helping us, which is all very Jurgen Klopp coaching Sunday League, if you ask me. We're trying to keep our carbon footprint down, so we've only hired a small theatre with an intimate crowd comprised entirely of vegan cyclists and hemp farmers. Plus it's radio, so we haven't bothered with the lights. Welcome everyone to Carbon Life Forms!
I'm Dr. Tara Shine.
And I'm John, not even close to being a Dr. Long.
Focusing on a specific theme for each episode, the topic we'll be covering today is food.
Food. Pretty big topic.
It is indeed, John.
So we've a lot on our plate.
We do.
Have we bitten off more than we can chew?
I hope not.
Maybe our eyes.
Oh, please stop.
Sorry.
It is a big topic, particularly when it comes to the environment. Food production accounts for around 37% of our global greenhouse gas emissions.
Like all of these things, it needs to be addressed at the highest levels. Manufacturers, farmers, supermarkets, and above all, government policy.
Last year, the government commissioned Henry Dimbleby, founder of the fast food outlet Leon, to conduct an independent review in preparation for the first national food strategy for 75 years.
Yes, and a year on, the government has just released said strategy. And whilst praised for its commitment to self-reliance, it's also being criticised by many who feel it doesn't go nearly far enough to address environmental concerns.
For example, the advice given by chief consultants to reduce beef and dairy by 30% seems to have been ignored in favour of schemes that look into ways to make livestock produce less methane.
Clearly calling for us to eat less meat is political suicide, and they'll do anything to avoid it. I'd love to sit in on one of these think tanks, whose job it is to find creative ways around the actual issue.
Oh,
UK think tank. Next on the table, we have the cow.
How did you get a cow on the table?
With a great deal of effort. Daisy here and her fellow bovines produce large amounts of methane, which is incredibly potent at trapping heat in the atmosphere. We've been tasked with reducing the environmental impact of the beef and dairy industries by at least 30%.
Can we eat 30% less meat and dairy?
No, the client was very clear that was not an option.
We could try to get them to fart and burp less.
Excellent thinking! We need them to pass a third less wind. How can we do that?
Antacids?
Okay, so we'll add some Pepto-Bismol to their diet. What else?
I always pass less gas when I'm in a new relationship.
Of course! We need each cow to be dating.
And make sure to rotate the bulls regularly so no one gets too comfortable.
This is excellent, everyone. So, we turn each cattle shed into a Love Island Casa Amor type of affair.
With lots of recoupling.
Yeah, keeps them on their hooves.
Okay, next on the agenda we have making bacon less delicious. But first things first, can anyone help me get this cow off the table?
Diets are a big part of our carbon footprint, so if you're looking to make your life a little less environmentally impactful, it's a great place to start. But before we do, it's time to introduce today's guest.
We want a balanced discussion on food and the environment. So to even out my non-meat-eating biases, we're so lucky to be joined by someone who is not only a hilarious comedian, but who is also from France. A country in which veganism is legally classified as a hate crime. Would you please join me in welcoming, it's the wonderful Ariel Souma, everyone.
Hello.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Bonjour. Thank you so much for joining us.
No worries.
I know you don't like being spending too much time around vegetarians if you can help it.
It's just a bit weird for me, but it's all right.
It's a cultural thing. But you are a meat eater. We should establish that. And by way of cheer, who does eat meat in the audience? Lovely. And I just want to establish up top, so do me and Tara. So this isn't some sort of vegan you know, we're not trying to convert anyone. No, but Ariel, so you are a meat eater and you...
Well, I don't just eat meat, you know. I don't go see and call and, you know.
There's some cooking involved. And,
there's some cooking involved. I don't just get turned on by meat. You know.
Quite like the image of you running down in the Serengeti, chasing a wildebeest down.
And... No, no, I like them dead first.
Okay. Like I like my men, am I right? No, okay. Okay, fabulous. We just want to establish where we're all at. I'm a flexitarian. That's what I call it. Yeah, cheating, as I said, most people call it. But I eat meat as little as I can. Tara, you're quite similar.
I'm kind of mostly vegetarian, but, you know, if I can't be bothered cooking another dinner and my son has said he's not giving up meat, then sometimes I eat whatever there is made.
Yeah,
practical.
And also, I really want to establish there's no guilt here, because we don't want this to be, this is us telling meat eaters you have to quit meat, and if you don't do it, it's all about the food production industry. It's from the top down. So there's no guilt involved in this, and we were no, you know, aspersions cast.
But with that in mind, guilt and all that, before we properly tuck into our main meal, we thought we might start with a light course of soul cleansing. It's time for Ariel and John to confess their environmental mishaps in a section we're calling Bless Me Tara, for I Have Sinned. I'm going to be aiming to alleviate John and Ariel's enviro shame as they step into the eco confessional, which to combat deforestation we had made out of fictional wood. So John, I believe you are first.
Hello Tara.
In the name of the Attenborough, the Greta and the beeswax wrap. So tell me, John, what has been plaguing your eco-conscience this week?
Well, I was at a train station and I got a coffee, but I got it in a single-use, non-recyclable cup. I know. Even though I have a reusable one at home. I know, and it gets worse because I knew going into the shop I didn't have it, but I still did that charade of, oh, where's my... No, I never come out without my... Yeah, it was very embarrassing. I did it on the way here. I almost bought a new reusable one in the shop, so you wouldn't judge me.
Oh, John. Reusable cups are good, but only if you actually reuse them. So don't forget it again the next time. And depending on what it's made of, it'll take 20 to 100 uses before you'll save enough to offset the emissions involved in making the cup in the first place.
Wow, that is quite a lot. Is it even worth me doing in the first place?
Absolutely. So when you get a takeaway coffee, about 9% of the carbon impact of the coffee is from the cup and the lid.
Okay.
But there's something else you could do that would be even more effective.
What is it?
Do you like milk in your coffee?
I do.
So you remember the cup and the lid, that's 9% of the carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. The production of the coffee itself, that's 14%.
Okay.
And the milk in your coffee, that accounts for a whopping 73% of the carbon footprint of your cuppa.
Oh, okay.
So you could think about switching to black coffee, or you could try fancy in vogue oat milk. So oat milk has a much lower carbon cost than cow's milk, and it will literally halve the carbon footprint of your coffee.
Perfect. Plus, I can order it really loudly so everyone hears me. Like, have you got oat milk? Everyone will know what a hero I am. I like that.
Would you please send Ariel in on your way out?
Hello, Tara.
Ariel, is there something on your mind that you would like to tell
me? If I have to. Okay, when I drive, sometimes, you know, the red light, I do not stop the engine. Because, you know, I can't be bothered.
Don't feel guilty. There is a lot of confusion in this area. So how long do you need to be stopped before, you know, the cost of restarting the engine's going to outweigh the benefit of sitting there and waiting? Actually, 10-second rule. If you're going to be idling for longer than 10 seconds, then it's best to switch off the engine.
Okay, so 10 seconds,
yeah,
right?
But it's not to be confused with the 3-second rule. Otherwise, you will be wearing out your starter motor and having very dusty sausage rolls.
3 seconds.
Three seconds. 10 seconds, cars, 3 seconds, sausage rolls, anything else that falls on the floor.
Slight variation depending on the floor. Like in a barber's, there's no rules.
In the name of the Attenborough, the Greta, and the beeswax wrap. Changes in our diet can make a really big difference to our carbon footprint. But before we speak any more about what we do eat, let's have a word about what we don't. Did you know that over a quarter of the food grown in the UK goes to waste, which is waste of all the energy that's gone into producing it, waste of all the farmers' effort in growing it, and not to mention the methane that will be released if it decomposes in a landfill. And that means that food waste alone contributes between 6 and 7% of all of the UK's greenhouse gas emissions.
My granddad must be horrified. He used to tell us stories about how scarce food used to be back in the days of rationing. I feel like when I'm his age, it'll be the reverse.
I know.
Is it true when you were my age there was food everywhere, Grandad?
It is. We often had more than we knew what to do with.
You didn't just eat it?
Oh no, sometimes we'd buy exotic fruits from around the world and then slowly watch them rot in decorative bowls.
Why?
I've no idea. Status, I think. Or sometimes people would submerge themselves in an entire bath full of beans for charity.
But nowadays we'd go to war with a neighbouring village over such a sum of food.
Oh, we would, but back then we did it to raise £47 for children in need.
What were the children in need of?
Food, mainly.
Couldn't you just skip?
It was a confusing time.
We don't mean to suggest that food scarcity is some faraway future problem.
No, the UK wastes 2 million tonnes of food every year, yet 1 in 10 families go hungry.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's put food waste in a caddy to the side and get back to the carbon impact of producing food.
Yes, it seems we don't always know which food is good for the planet and which is bad.
So to help us demystify dinner, it's Play Your Carbon Footprint Right. We all know the rules, I'm sure. We'll be measuring in kilograms of carbon dioxide equivalent. So to start with, let's go to the classic staple of the British Isles, one of our favourites over in Ireland, a large potato, clocking in at just 0.04 kilos of carbon dioxide equivalent. Now, for your second card, we'll be moving on to fruit.
Oh, is it a pear?
No, you don't get anything for a pear.
Okay, four of you actually saw the show, that's good.
It's a hot summer's day, so let's say you buy yourself a punnet of strawberries grown here in the UK. What do you think, audience? Higher or lower carbon impact than the potato 0.04?
Higher!
Ariel, do you agree?
I'll go for higher.
You go for higher too?
Higher.
It is indeed 10 times higher at 0.4 kilograms.
Bourgeois strawberry, far more energy intensive than the proletariat potato.
So next card, it's a New Zealand lamb chop. What do you think, audience? Higher or lower than the strawberries?
Higher.
Ooh, controversial. Ariel, settle it for us.
I'll go for higher.
Yeah, you are a wise lady. It is higher at 1.08 kilograms of CO2 equivalent. Well over twice as high, in fact. But now, the next one we have is the same lamb chop, but this time it's from Wales. Higher or lower than the New Zealand equivalent, audience?
I'm gonna go higher for everything.
You're gonna go higher for everything, just as a rule, okay. Well, you're right. It is actually higher at 1.68 kilograms of CO2 equivalent.
Wait, so higher than shipping it from New Zealand?
Yeah, so despite the food miles, the majority of the carbon is actually from the rearing of the lamb, not the shipping. And in New Zealand, they're really good at low impact lamb rearing. They also are. There are some specialist farmers in Wales who are also very good at that, but we're working here on averages.
Shall we talk about the dreaded beef?
Between us, I just thought we got off on the wrong foot. I wouldn't call it a beef.
No, I meant...
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's the next one.
Wait, wrong foot? What? I thought we were...
So, our next card is, in fact, beef.
No, seriously, I agree. The first time I meet you...
Okay, I don't know why this has turned into that all of a sudden, but...
Beef is the biggest offender.
Say I gave up meat entirely, but I still stuck with cheese. Is that okay?
Well, as a French person, yeah.
It's a legal right, isn't it, in France?
Yeah. Well, it's better. Cheese is better than meat, but you still have to have the cows and they're still pumping out the methane and you still have to feed them so you can get the milk to make the cheese. Cows, cattle, we will not be gender specific, are actually a big part of the problem. That's why beef is always top of the list. Yeah, so I do feel weird using all these light entertainment tropes to talk about such serious issues.
I know what you mean. Brucey never went deep. You never heard Brucey being like, well, you got a queen, but you went lower and it's a king, which is higher because of the patriarchy. You know what I mean? Like, he just left that stuff behind, didn't he?
The food critic and author Jay Rayner is the perfect example of an environmentally conscious meat eater, someone who has spent a great deal of time exploring the hidden cost of modern food. So earlier this week, Lucky John spent some time in Jay's kitchen, with prior permission, to discuss the animals that we eat.
So, chicken. I mean, this is where it gets very, very complicated in some ways. The impact of chicken is the lowest of all the mainstream meats that we eat.
Yeah.
But the welfare issues are very serious. The longer you let a chicken live, the bigger its carbon footprint. It applies to people as well. I mean, one of the big environmental problems we've got is we're all living too long.
Yeah.
Every time one of those obituaries of somebody who made their name in, you know, Coronation Street or It Ain't Half Hot Mum and they live to be 94, that's 10 years of carbon footprint that we could do without.
And what have you achieved with that 10 years?
Yeah, what have you achieved? I mean, basically, we need a cull of light entertainment stars before they live too long. But the same applies to chickens. So, you know, if you go, what you must have is a long-lived chicken, its carbon footprint is going to be much, much bigger than one that's been raised intensely and slaughtered at 36 or 40 days or whatever.
Mm.
And if people disagree with me or think I'm wrong...
You will fight them.
No, they should just go and tell George Monbiot because he'll be a much more sympathetic ear than I will be.
Fabulous. We'll attach his address, forwarding details to the credits. So, is there a way to make mass farming more sustainable for the environment?
Insects are fabulous. They have a sort of one-to-one ratio of food in to growth. They produce almost no emissions. They really are the sustainable food source. There is one problem, which is we're all a bit leery about eating insects.
Mm.
But they will be used to produce a protein powder which will turn up as a meat substitute in cheap burgers, cheap sausages, things like that. But it won't be called Bug-You-Like on the packaging. It'll be called, you know, Nature's Bounty. TM, something like that. As food prices rise, God knows we're seeing it now.
Yeah.
If you could buy a lasagna at a third of the price of one made with beef, and it's just got a nice flash on the front for, you know, Nature's Bounty, and then you've got to have one of those sort of sunrise logos which turns into arms around a family.
But there's six arms.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Exactly. And a thorax.
I really don't want to chastise meat eaters. I know you were saying, am I going to have to spend the whole day with vegetarians? Am I going to be pilloried for... It's not what it is. We're just saying, you know, do Veganuary if you have, you know, give it a go, or maybe meat-free month. Do you think you could give it, you know?
If I'm not hungry and... yeah, I could try not to eat meat between my lunch and my dinner.
It has been becoming trendy, you'll have noticed.
It is so cool, and you'll probably know a few vegans yourself. They are quite shy about it, though.
And who ordered the artichoke?
That was me. I'm a vegan. The pilot's passed out. Is there a doctor on board?
Sorry, did you say vegan?
If you're a vegan, I promise we're just joking. In fact, the actor playing the vegan in that sketch is actually a vegan in real life. How do I know that?
Hi, I'm Alistair. I'm here for the sketch recording.
Perfect. The producer is just through there.
Thank you. I'm a vegan. Hi, everyone. I'm here for the sketch recording.
Yeah, that's great. Let's just get you some...
I'm a vegan.
But you're quite right, accessible more than ever. And also, I think a lot of the time when people say, hey, we've got to try and be better for the environment, the individual actions we can take are often really expensive, like solar panels or an electric car. But veganism is actually affordable, isn't it?
Yeah, bags of beans are really, really a whole lot cheaper than buying pieces of meat. So, yeah. It's a win-win.
No, I mean vegetable. You can't feed yourself with vegetables.
Yes, you can. We want to establish you definitely can.
Even if you just skip meat every Monday for 1 year, that will save the same amount of emissions as not driving your car for a whole month.
Yeah.
On average.
Maybe David Coulthard or something, I don't know. Oh God, I've got to update my race car driving.
Now it's time for a segment that we like to call Greenwash of the Week.
Greenwash of the Week. Please don't greenwash and be a bastard.
So the environmental crisis is no one person's fault, and we're all culpable in one way or another.
We don't like to point fingers or name names on this show. However, there are those who are seemingly cashing in on society's concern for the planet by greenwashing. And I am now going to point fingers at them whilst I tell you their names.
Notice how John switched from we to I there?
Yes, Tara and the rest of the team are keen to distance themselves from my views on this incredibly litigious company.
That John and John alone has chosen.
Yes, and that's true. And indeed, I want to make it clear this is one man's opinion. It's not the show's, it's not the BBC's, and it is just that, an opinion. What do I know? But having said that, screw McDonald's. I mean, I'm a fan of your work. There are people right now out there listening to this eating McDonald's. I'm gonna let you finish. But screw McDonald's. But this advert, which has been running all year about what great recycling they've all been doing lately.
So we reuse our cooking oil to make biodiesel that helps fuel our trucks.
Oh, thanks, McDonald's. So you take all of that carbon-rich cooking oil, instead of, say, sequestering it under the ground, you put it in trucks so we can burn it and release carbon into the atmosphere. What a wonderful new eco-policy, Maggers. I'm being flippant, of course. I guess what you're trying to say is it avoids the use of petrochemicals, and they're bad, aren't they? Because we don't want to use them. They take carbon out of the ground and put them into the... The advert goes on to explain they're also turning old cups into greeting cards and old Happy Meal plastic into kids' playgrounds. Lovely gestures, but just that. Gestures.
And this is just the beginning of a plan to recycle and reuse even more.
If we want to really talk about the environment and McDonald's in the same breath, we need to talk about beef. And not just the beef that Tara seemingly has with me.
It's okay, I'm starting to kind of warm to you, to be fair.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. I'm talking about cattle. McDonald's sell more beef than anyone else on the planet, and as a result, have a carbon footprint higher than Norway. And to be fair to Mackie D's, they've got something to shout about in this regard. The McPlant, a vegan burger that at 0.29 kilograms of CO2 equivalent is 10 times less than the quarter pounder. It's a huge step in the right direction, but they need to go further. More variations, perhaps another beef alternative. Maybe it's time to see the McCricket burger. Perhaps, dare I say it, in collaboration with Nature's Bounty TM.
Nature's Bounty. May contain bugs.
For this tweet and pointless advert, McDonald's are awarded Greenwash of the Week.
Greenwash of the Week. Please don't greenwash and be a bastard.
Finally, it's time to see if our information has been digested in this, the Carbon Lifeforms Roundup Quiz. Are you ready?
Yeah, what do I win?
If you get everything right, you get a year's supply of tofu.
Oh.
And just a sense of personal pride.
Awesome.
So, Ariel.
Yeah, just get on with it.
Okay. Food production is responsible for what percentage of global greenhouse gases?
30%.
I'll give half of that.
Half? Yeah, definitely half. 37. Very well remembered.
Very
yeah,
close.
It's about a third. Go, Ariel.
Thank you.
Okay, question number two. Doing meat-free Mondays for a year will save the same amount of emissions as not driving your car for how long?
Meat-free Friday, Monday.
Well, it doesn't really matter the day.
The full 24 hours.
But a whole day, not these bits and pieces of day.
10 seconds?
10 seconds.
Okay, split the difference.
Nul point, baby.
It's a man.
Moving swiftly on to question three. You look like you're going to get me later. Which reduces the carbon footprint of your takeaway coffee more, switching to oat milk or using a reusable cup?
Oat milk.
Yay, all the way. Well done, well done. Okay, so the last question. Can you rank these animals in order of their carbon footprint? They are beef, chicken, fish, lamb, pork, prawns.
So the highest, cow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then lamb.
Yes.
The shrimp.
Yes.
And the pork, mm-hmm. chicken, mm-hmm. and the fish.
So Superstar.
Wonderful. Now, the devil in the detail before we go, a little about offsetting.
So we've been chatting a lot of carbon talk, so it's important to walk the carbon walk and offset the production emissions of this show.
But we need your help.
This show, we estimate, has a carbon cost of 378 kilos of carbon dioxide equivalent. We've kept it down by not turning on the air conditioning or anything like that. And we've done some calculations for ways that some of you at home could help us to offset this.
Yes, we've estimated the listening figures based on other shows in this time slot.
And we think that if just 1 in 15 of you listening at home were to switch to oat milk for just 1 week, you would save enough to offset this entire show.
We could achieve it as well without the people at home, just with the people in this room, about 50 of us with all the cast and crew. And if we, an intimate audience of 50, if we pledge to waste a quarter less food for a month, through diligent use of shopping lists, freezers, and even a cheeky bit of composting, 25% less food for the next month, we'll have offset this show.
And believe it or not, if everyone who is listening at home did the same, we'd save enough for 20,000 shows, which is almost as much as one season of The Walking Dead.
If just 3 of the meat eaters in this room did meat-free Mondays for the next year, that would be enough to offset this whole show.
All done. Whole year.
You can do it?
Okay.
So we need 2 more. Perfect. Sorry, did you
know? I was being sarcastic.
Oh, too late. Too late. That's a verbally binding contract. Thank you.
Already drinking oat milk. And also, what do I buy less because I'm on diet and I'm poor. So it's a win-win.
Do it for environmental reasons or malnourishment. Either way, we're trying to help the environment. Listen, I think you'll agree. She's been the most wonderful guest. Would you please join me in thanking the wonderful Ariel Suma, everyone!
Thank you. Merci beaucoup, merci.
So, thank you all so much for listening, and let's make sure we always spare a little thought for food. What a glorious but laborious little blighter it is. Let's cherish it, honour it, and for heaven's sake, eat it all up. Let's reduce food waste, eat seasonally when we can, and try and eat less meat and dairy. Let's be conscious of our food miles, but wary of those hothouses. Let's not beat ourselves up when we get it wrong, because we will get it wrong. It is complicated, and we're only flawed little carbon life forms, trying our very best.
I met a very strict vegetarian. He told me he won't even eat Parmesan. He said in the process they use animal fat, but I'll still eat it even though I know that, because I'm a flexitarian, yes. Not a vegetarian. Subtle differences. Another time I wanted Chinese takeaway, I ordered fake crispy duck. They misheard me on the phone and delivered 8 crispy duck. And I still paid for it, 8-2, and then cried. Now I can't look at ducks anymore. It's like they all know what I've done. So judge me with their duck eyes. But that's a day-to-day risks you run with being a flexitarian.
Carbon Lifeforms was presented by John Long and Dr. Tara Shine, with guests Ariel Suma and Jay Rayner. It was written by John Long, with additional voices by Naomi McDonald and Alistair Beckett-King. The associate producer was Dan Page, with climate research by Possible and technicals by Tony Chernside and David Thomas. It was produced and directed by John Holmes and was an unusual production for BBC Radio 4. I'm a vegan.
But hey, I still don't eat fish, so at least I'm not a pescatarian. Straight in third row. Pesky pescatarian. That is not a judge. You know, I'm not digging pescatarians, by the way. That's, you're fine if you are. I'm not judging anyone. That's my new rule. Like, we're all hypocritical in one way or another. The guy I was talking about making me feel bad about eating Parmesan, forget that guy. I'm not letting people like him make me feel bad about myself. Could have judged him right back. Well, I didn't tell you about that guy. He was a white guy with dreadlocks. Yes! The plot thickens. I'm sorry, mate. Just because you smoke weed, it doesn't make you a...